Good morning. Welcome each one of you here this morning. Glad that you are here with us. As far as our announcements, we do have our bulletins back this morning. If you'll take those and look just a minute, we are planning a leadership meeting next Sunday at 5 o'clock, followed by our Bible study will follow that. So please make note and be here for that. Also, the offering plates are one at the back door and one here. We will not pass them this morning, but they are here. And also, prayer request. Do we have any additionals other than what's listed? If you'll notice the back of our bulletin, we have those listed. Are any others that we need to mention? Remember our state, country, our nation. Any others? Remember the Saxon family. Good friends with Kay and Tammy. The wife is more friends than I am, but her husband passed away this weekend. Remember that family. Any others? Confined. So y'all remember Ricky. Any others? If not, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this day. And again, Father, we just pray that you would be the one that's been mentioned this morning. Father, you know their needs. We just pray that you would be with them. Give them comfort. Just guide them through the days ahead. Now, Father, we just pray that you would be with us now during this worship hour. Father, as Terry comes and brings a message, we pray, Father, that we will listen to your will and your way this day. Again, our Father, we just pray for the ones that's not here. And just a special prayer for our pastor and his family as they are traveling. Just ask that you'd just traveling mercies for them. Again, our Father, we just thank you for the time that we can come together and worship. In Christ's name we ask these and all prayers. Amen.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify, testify.
Shouting, crucify, could have come from these lips of mine. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I
again, I always try to express the fact it's such a honor and a pleasure and a blessing to be able to stand up here and speak the Word of God. I always have to mention, too, how unworthy I feel. And I ask for your prayer during this time that I might say the words that God would have me say, that I might express the words that He would have understood and said in his house, in His presence, where we believe that He is. We come here to worship Him. We come here to relieve our burdens of sin here. We can ask for forgiveness anytime and anywhere, but there's nothing like coming into a meeting house and meeting God. Amen. So that's what we're here for. We want to meet Him. And I've studied this a lot over the last several weeks, actually, even before I knew that I was going to be up here today. I've been studying Hebrews a lot for the last about 3 months. And this sermon, if you want to call it that, this word will come from mostly from Hebrew. There are other places, a few other places. But the name of this lesson is A Secure Hope in a Secure Place. That's what we all want. We want a secure place here on earth. We like to feel secure. Those songs that we just heard, those two songs, those are great. Weren't they just great songs? To know that we were once in prison. We were in prison. Every one of us here that know Christ, that have been saved, as we say, before that, we were in prison. In the prison of hell. That's where we were all headed. And God has always, there has always been a way to escape that. A lot of things we know about God and His creation, we don't understand. Now, we don't understand why He created Satan. That's His business. He created him, though, and he was the most beautiful creation that He ever created. A third of the angels thought so, too. They fell with Him when God kicked him out of heaven. But he still he communicates with God all the time. If you'll read Job, you'll find out that Satan talks to God all the time. And God allows Satan to do things. That's another thing that the understanding of that escapes me. I don't pretend to understand that, but that's God's business. I do know one thing, that He wants us to choose His ways. And we have that choice. We make choices all the time during the day of what we will do and what we won't do. We don't have to make the wrong choice because we have the Holy Spirit. Those of us who know Christ have the Holy Spirit residing in us. It prompts us. It tells us. And the study of His Word gives us direction. We don't have to wonder about it. It gives us direction. There's an answer to every question that we have ever had right here. It's here. So let's go ahead and look at Hebrews a little bit. It's 6:18 through 20 first. So that two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus was the last priest that had to go behind the curtain. The forgiveness and the blood sacrifices that were made all those years had to be made once a year by one person, the high priest at that time. And of course, they lived a life and died and went on. And there were others. But they had to go behind the purple curtain and offer a blood sacrifice for the people. And Jesus then, he didn't go behind the curtain to make the blood sacrifice, but he made his blood sacrifice on the cross and lived a perfect life on this earth, which we can't put our minds around because it's impossible for us sinful people to do that. But Jesus, being without sin, was able to sacrifice his blood on the cross and rip the curtain so that it would never, ever have to be done again. And we don't pray except to the one high priest, Jesus Christ. We don't go through a worldly priest anymore. We don't have to do that. We don't need to do that. We don't want to do that. And so in 7:1-3 tells us about the priestly order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. That was Melchizedek, blessed him. I don't know how much you know about Melchizedek, but he was a man that had no beginning and he has no end. He had no parents. He had no offspring. There was just Melchizedek. He was the priest of God Almighty. The priest of God. Melchizedek. There's very little in the Bible about Melchizedek. We don't know much about him. But he was a type of Christ. He was the first priest. He was the priest that God appointed to be priest because he was not born. He was created like the Son of God. That's the similarity of him. And so all the patriarchs that came in direct contact with God sacrificed to Melchizedek, the forerunner of Christ. He was a perfect person. He still is. He exists now. We don't know where he is, but according to the Word of God. Let's see what it says about that. Melchizedek, a type of Christ, a name the name means King of Righteousness. Some have said that Jesus was Melchizedek, but that doesn't match up with what the Bible says. Some of the commentaries I read, they think it was Jesus. You know, you have, we call them Christophanies, where Christ appeared before he was born of a virgin as a baby. And we know that happened a lot back in the Old Testament. And that some people think that, but that's not what I think the Bible teaches. Melchizedek, an Old Testament, he was a prophetic of Christ. He was like Christ. We call Christ is called the second Adam, you know, a lot by a lot of people, because he's the son of God, and Adam was the first person that God made, and he's the only person that God made, really, in and of himself, rolled up the dirt, because he took a rib from Adam to make Eve. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Why do you think, why would he do that? He had already made a deal with God, and God has never lied, so the deal was good. He knew it was going to take place. I think that Abraham, by the things that he did, that we read about in Scripture, the main one, of course, was drawing a knife back on his own son to take his life, and the Spirit held his hand back, and there was the lamb or the ram hung up in a bunch of bush. And that was the sacrifice. God, and that was the first, one of the first places that we see where God said that he would provide the sacrifice. And that's a direct connection to Christ. The fact that he would supply the sacrifice. And he did, his own son. There's nothing that Christians love to hear more than about salvation. We love hearing it. We know about salvation. Christ comes to live in our heart. He directs us if we let him. He'll do it all the time. But we just love to hear how that takes place, what happens. Salvation is the greatest thing that ever happens to a person, no matter what. We might get rich, we might be poor, we might be all in between of that. All kinds of things happen to us. But we can look back and see salvation and know that we have salvation, and nothing else matters. Nothing else does. There's nothing any better. Because we all know that one day we're going to leave this world. They're all going. Nothing is going to stop that unless the rapture comes before that. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, and he blessed him. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Hebrews 7:11. Says Jesus is compared to Melchizedek. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, we know that that's how the people of God lived for a long time. They had to make those sacrifices every year. They lived under the Levitical laws. And of course, they could not keep the laws. We know that the law was given to show us that we could not keep the law. We could not attain salvation through the law. That's why God gave us the law. He knew all the time we could not, absolutely could not. So every year that the highest priest had to go into the Holy of Holies and offer the blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. So it says, for under it, the people received the law. What further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than the one named after the order of Aaron? What was it for? Since God had created Melchizedek and he was the high priest, why did we need? Well, we had to have that Levitical law. People had to have that Levitical law to be shown that you cannot live, you cannot achieve salvation by the law. Can't be done. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody ever did except one. And that was Jesus Christ himself. He kept every word of the law. He's the only one that's ever done that. And he, because he was able to do that, then God allowed him or gave him the sins of all sinfulness of all Christians. He put on him the sins of us. And he went to the cross with our sins. And he went of his own volition. They could not take him. He was God. And he let them know that. He went because he wanted to go. He went willfully. Was not forced to go. He communed with God. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane before that. And he said, he asked God, take this cup away from me if there's any other way. God did not take the cup away because there was no other way. People could not obey the law. People could not follow the law. They couldn't do what God had designed for them to do. It had to be, sins had to be taken away every year in the Holy of Holies by the highest priest. But when Jesus took those sins on his shoulder and he went to the cross and died, bled and died, that blood washed all our sins away and the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And the inner part of that in there was exposed. It was no longer needed. It was seen by everybody. And we were made to believe and understand that we can't live like Jesus did except through him. And that's what God looks like. That's what he looks at us. That's what he's going to look one day at every soul to see if it has that blood of Christ on it. And if our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ, we'll go into his presence. One of the two judgments everyone's going to. The judgment seat of Christ, that's where we want to be. And all those who know Christ will be there. All those who do not will go to the white throne judgment. And that's where God the Father himself will say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. The high priest, after the resurrection of Christ, became Christ. He was that before, but it had all unfolded then. It had all come to fruition, what God had been planning from the beginning of time. He knew it was going to take place that way, but Jesus, his own son, he made the choice himself. It's like us. We have to make the choice. Jesus made the choice to go to the cross. We know it's evidenced by the fact that he asked God to take it away from him if there was any other way. And God revealed to him, of course, that there was no other way. So he went to the cross for us. He did not have to. He went because he wanted to. They could not make him. It's like we always, people say it all the time. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't do that. No, I mean, How can we reject such a thing? How can a person reject that if we know that that's what he did for us? God Almighty went to the cross for us. Jesus, the high priest of a better covenant, the best covenant, the only covenant we have, actually, everybody who was ever saved before Christ died on the cross was through the belief that one day he would die on the cross and shed his blood. That is the excellence of the cross. Excellent. What does the word excellent mean? It means perfect. There's no blemish whatsoever in excellent. We don't see much excellence. It's pretty rare. But in the case of Christ, he was excellent. He did an excellent thing. He did a perfect thing. He lived a perfect life. He was born of a virgin. He was fathered by the Holy Spirit. He was and is the Son of Almighty God, the Creator of all things, the one who knows all about coronavirus. He knows everything. Nothing surprises him. Nothing has ever surprised him. He's always been in control of all things, and he is now. That's why we can take such great faith in knowing and believing what he did, because we believe he's in control. The new covenant is the perfect one. It's Jesus. It's the only covenant now. It is by the blood of Christ, and only by the blood of Christ that receives salvation. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, the only covenant we need. We'll read 1 Timothy 2:5. I'm going the wrong way. First Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. That's the summation of all this about Melchizedek, all about the high priest who had to go behind the curtain and pray for everyone's sins once a year. It's the shed blood of Jesus, what he did. He did three things that every Christian must believe. We must believe that he was born of a virgin, fathered by the Holy Spirit. We must believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. And we must believe that he, on the third day, he was resurrected from the dead because he had no sin. That's all I have. Thank you all very much for listening. I appreciate it very much, and I'm going to go ahead and pray. And Father, thank you for this time that you've given us here this morning to study a little bit about you and maybe a little bit more about salvation. And thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to know you a little bit better. And I pray for every person in here, Lord, and every person's family and loved ones and those that have a need on their heart and mind. I pray for them. I ask you, Lord, to intervene the way that you would see fit, and let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.